Hey, everybody. This is Christian, and this is another Bright Side podcast. Today, I have the good old Jeffrey over here.
Hey, and, how's it going?
And Tony.
What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You guys ready to talk about some business, some finance?
Always.
All right. Well, I'm Christian, and this is another Bright Side podcast. All right, Jeff, tell me what you did for Christmas.
Get shit-faced.
Oh, well, that's always good.
And gain a couple of pounds.
Ooh.
All that fucking food.
Oh, I thought you were watching your calories last time.
I think that's past Thanksgiving, so
that's
right now
I'm
just like,
that's
way.
Well, hold on. Let me just hit this bowl real quick. Hold on.
Let me just take a sip of beer, too.
Oh, my God. Here you go.
Sure, I'll take a hit.
What about you, Tony? What do you have to say? Christmas came around and...
Christmas actually came and went. It's, this year is just flying by, honestly. Getting a job, you know, in September just made it go so much faster because I'm just working.
Yeah, same here.
So much.
Well, just to give, like, some background, the three of us all graduated pretty much at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And we're all finance majors and we're all... doing something in finance.
Hopefully.
Well, right, unless you guys are lying to me.
Well, I'm doing accounting, actually.
I'm doing financial analyst.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
All right.
It has to do with finance.
Hopefully, you know, making use of all that school time.
Yeah, in other words. Obviously. True. Definitely made a lot more time for drinking. And obviously Jeffrey over here has been gaining some pounds and shit, and
that's it.
Well, I don't know.
That's good.
Just recently, though, right?
Just recently.
The holiday season.
Hitting my 180 something marker.
Really?
Is that what you're trying to reach? 180?
I was at 175 at the beginning of the year before I started exercising. I was at like at 150. And I was able to tack on like 20 pounds of protein, creatine, drink. Yeah. Then from there...
At the beginning of this year?
At the beginning of this year, it was like around 150.
So you gained 20 pounds, but a muscle also, you're saying?
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and actually, I was like, damn, how you do that? Like, yeah, you just try to eat lean, like you say, always and everything. At first, I gained pounds by eating junk food. Then I kind of cut it down and shifted my diet, which is easier to do to gain... weight like that, and then from there I just, like you said, been doing creatine. But then I was like, wait a minute, I'm at 170 and I don't feel comfortable. I'm like 182, 185, somewhere around there. So
right now, is that about where you're at?
Like I'm at the 180. I think I am at the 180. I haven't weighed myself in a while, but yeah, last time I weighed myself, I was 176, 177.
This is a good beer.
Is it?
It's really smooth.
Oh, really?
I like it.
So this time it was
okay.
It was
so
good.
Guys, who listened to the last podcast. These two bastards brought me horrible beers to drink last time, and it was an awful, awful experience. I was never going to invite them back.
Oh, really? Hey, free beers, good beer.
But, you know what? Today we have a shining, shining pupil over here who brought Bex. And, it's Bex Sapphire. It's not bad. And it's a smooth taste, and it is. It's pretty smooth.
Yeah, I mean,
and you brought me, what would you get me? Miller Lite?
Yes.
How dare you? You learned nothing.
Anyways, cheers, man.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Cheers. It's almost
New
Year's.
Almost New Year's, and we're going to start a new year. Okay, so going back to you, actually, I didn't know you lost. Did you lose weight, or were you already skinny at 150?
I was actually somewhat in a fit condition, but I just felt like when after doing, I didn't feel myself comfortable after doing more exercise and trying to gain muscle. I added 20 pounds of muscle weight on top.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so after that, then from there, I was like, I started kind of doing some cardio and stuff, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm in between sluggish and kind of bulky, and I wanted to, like, yeah, let me cut some more, try to cut more lean, and become more muscle weight. So right now, I'm shifting more to muscle weight instead of being lean and being too...
So the gain weight wasn't just about the holidays. It was just you actually working out and gaining muscle.
Yeah,
so
same thing. Yeah, that's one reason that I find it easier to gain weight by eating. Because, you know, if you want to gain weight, they say on average you got to eat like 8,000 calories.
Whoa.
No.
Four?
No.
What's your goal? What's your goal?
To try to add a fast.
Do you want to be a sumo wrestler?
At a fast pace, trying to gain weight at a fast pace. You have to eat like around 8,000 calories.
Yeah, well, whatever.
2,000 calorie diet.
Look, I know somebody right now who's trying to gain weight, and he's like at 180, let's say. He's trying to get to 190, okay? And he literally is a lean, lean person. He's really slender. And he's trying to, in order to reach that goal, he's only eating 3,000 calories. And to me, that's a lot. 3,000 calories.
It's only 2,000 calorie a day, which is...
Yeah, but you want to eat, four times as much.
I know, you want to eat... you said 8,000
calories. You're giving yourself to eat more. That's what it is.
You know what they say? You got to get yourself accustomed to eating at least every 2-3 hours, even though you're not hungry.
Put that
grab up, grab burger. Something and all eat right. it. So, even though you're not hungry, you got to force yourself to...
I know what you're saying, because he wants to build muscle.
I get it. But, all right, so what I did is I reached 200 pounds in my freshman year of college. It was that, there's the fucking cafeterias, man. And so I went over there, came back to L.A., and I was pretty much 200 pounds. And it took me a while, but I started changing what I ate, Nutribullet, just eating healthier. And I started, not too long ago, I got a personal trainer. And all of a sudden, my diet and exercise was much more refined. And I started losing weight really fast, and it went all the way down to the leanest I was is 155. And then I came back up to 185, and then I got another trainer this year that was a lot better, and it went down to 165, and right now I'm like around 175. Yeah, so it's I don't know. I've been volatile.
It's up and down.
Yeah.
Well, 5 pounds, it's normal, You're always going to be within 5 pounds. But if it's, like, that volatile, then what are you now, 175?
Right now I'm, like, 175 to, about 175.
And you were 160, because you and I were the same weight for,
for a moment.
Time, so.
Yeah, we went, not too long ago, I was at 168.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was there for a pretty good while, but also I gained some muscle mass, but I'm not gonna lie, I injured my foot, and I haven't been able to do much cardio, so I started gaining a little bit more weight recently. And holidays don't help.
Yeah,
you know, man, true. Holidays don't help. My point being is that through that diet, you say that you should be eating every hours. Perhaps you're right. But in my perspective and in my diet, I think more of like, man, what if I was stranded right now? Or what if I was broke right now and I couldn't do that? What would I buy? Like, what would I need to eat? And literally most of my diet, surprisingly or not, is actually vegetarian. Almost everything I eat is vegetarian, for the exception of, like, when I go out for dinner. I probably buy some chicken or some, like, really good meat.
Salmon,
too. You say salmon or salmon?
Salmon.
Okay. Because I got corrected when I said salmon, and...
It's salmon.
Americans say salmon.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I'm getting into a tangent. Fuck. We will come back to this. So, so my point is that because of like the way I eat, and most of it is mainly laziness, but almost all of it is fruit, vegetables, and shit that you can find almost anywhere. But I don't know. The reason why I'm against the whole like every 3 hours thing is because it's just not practical.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not practical. But like you said, to bulk up in a fast way, that's
what. What are you trying to look like? Are you trying to look like Arnold? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yes.
I'm trying to gain a good amount of
a foreign body and muscle, but like you said,
I don't think you need that many more calories for that, honestly.
But yeah, but like I said, the thing about it is it's easier for you to gain weight.
Neither one of us are dieticians.
Yeah, that's true. We're finance people.
I know, we're just finance.
But yeah, what they say, it's easier for you to gain weight eating fat food, etc., anything that can make you gain weight faster, and then just cut down and loosen it and change your diet. Because you're not going to be able to gain weight eating a whole bunch of lean stuff, a whole bunch of lean chicken, salads, and everything.
But what do you mean by gain weight? Like, are you trying to gain mass, or are you just trying to gain
body weight? Weight. It doesn't matter if it's fat weight or anything weight. You gain it, but then you kind of...
You have a fat fetish?
Are you serious?
I just find it that's...
Are you going to tell me 200 calories from a donut is the same as 200 calories from, like, greens?
But I'm going to tell you, it's easier to gain weight 2,000 calories from a donut than to gain weight 2,000 calories. Okay. Try to eat 2,000 calories
what you want, hey, man, don't cheat, okay? All right, don't cheat.
Let me interpret this, okay? What you mean is you want to reduce body fat but gain muscle weight, muscle
no,
size.
No, at first we gain body weight. Because it's hard for you to gain muscle if you're just going to try to eat a good, healthy diet.
Well,
if you want to gain a certain amount, like 20 pounds, tack on 10, it's going to be hard for you. You're not going to try to eat a salad or salmon or eat lean chicken or protein, etc. I mean, it is, but it's going to take you way longer than actually gain body fat weight and then cut down your
diet. It's like the bulking thing that bodybuilders talk about. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay, that is a very traditionalist mentality, though. There's so much wrong with it, though, because of the type of food you're putting in. You know what I mean? Like, the you might gain a lot more mass and maybe muscle, but you're making your body feel like shit.
But hey, that's a...
But hey.
But hey, it's easier to find the quick and right solution, and then there, forget about the rest of it. That's the way I proceed.
Well, just don't bulk too much. You don't really need to.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's going to get to a cutoff point.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to get to a point where you just cut off your diet and kind of start switching around. Start substituting. Like, oh, yeah, I don't really need to eat this much anymore. Use a filler or something. Use a, like, some, I don't know what's a nutrition bar or something. Instead
like
of
a shake or something.
Yeah, start cutting yourself down. And that's how I went from, like, 150 to 170. Just like,
I mean, I have a few gym goals myself. I mean, I want to get as strong as I can. But I don't want to weigh more than, like, 175. Because I prefer the dense muscle. And, as opposed to the more puffy muscle. Yeah. But even then, I'm not going to eat that much more than what I am now, which is honestly probably, obviously, 2,500 calories. And since September, I haven't eaten a single animal. No animal products. And you know what? That's one of the reasons I love my diet so much, is that it proves my former self wrong. Because I used to be a criticizer of the vegan diet. Now that I became a vegan,
Anyway,
I feel just as much, if not more, energy than before. When I go to the gym, I hit the weights. Hey,
I bet you feel a lot lighter without your ball sacks.
You know what? Actually, my blood flow is a lot better, so probably.
Does your aura and energy.
Aura and energy, you can always argue it from, more spiritual sort of way, because let's face it, it is the more moral diet.
Oh, jeez. So.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
But just even strictly from a diet point of view, you get all your proteins from plant.
Are your macronutrients and
definitely all your macros? I would say every single micro except probably B12.
I would probably say I would probably disagree in the fact that meat protein is different from green protein. But what I would say is definitely greens have a lot of protein as well that a lot of people overlook, and I feel that I disagree with your veganness.
How can you?
I would say that Definitely, Americans especially do not eat a healthy diet. That's true. And even the misconception with like some lifters and quote unquote fitness people is that you can just eat whatever you want and pack on mass. I mean, that may equal to more mass, but definitely overall, it's a very unhealthy diet.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's an unhealthy diet, but like you said, it's a easy way for many traders to gain weight, etc. But like you said, everything has its fallacies.
Fallacies, yeah. Yeah, like veganism. Anyway, moving on.
I'm not one of those.
That's one of the things that we're talking about, diet, and how can we apply finance to this?
Anyway,
you need to know that. When you go to a fat food chain or something, fast food chain, everything that is fat or unhealthy is more cheaper than an actual Saturday.
Not necessarily. Yes, it is. That's not true.
It's true.
No.
You go to McDonald's, you buy yourself a burger, $5.
Well, basic rice, basic legumes, you know, lettuce. That's always going to be cheaper.
Yeah, but they've done multiple studies, and there was one study that showed that, no, it's healthier if you expand it and blah, blah, blah. And in some aspects, that's true. But overall, unhealthy food is a hell lot cheaper and more accessible.
I wouldn't say that, actually.
Yeah.
What costs you more?
Hold on.
Rice, beans, but yams, broccoli?
To an average young adult, teenager, something, and college student who doesn't have too much to afford.
But let me tell you why it's cheaper, okay? Because our government subsidizes corn, subsidizes starch, subsidizes a bunch of unhealthy things. Like, there are no subsidies for vegetables. You know, it's the subsidies that are doing it. And that's why, you know, all that nasty ass shit, all that fried stuff comes out cheaper. And that's why.
And it's
and on top of that,
most,
you know, healthy foods like Whole Foods. You know, I don't walk around Watts finding Whole Foods very often or at Trader Joe's, you know? That's true. And most of those people don't even go within a very far radius of their own, with their own neighborhoods. And that's been shown as well. So, I mean, there's a bunch of reasons.
Every place has a Vons, even Watts, has a Food for Less. That, you know.
Yeah, but if you want something, like, say,
you're talking about in a different context. You're talking about.
Yeah, how the fuck? Look, we're going into rants over here. All right, let's go back. All right, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go to fucking.
I'm just saying I'm vegan and I'm very happy about it.
Obviously.
Just look at a cow's eyes.
Obviously.
Look at a cow's eyes and tell me that's what you really want to eat.
Yeah, man, that bitch looks tasty.
Yeah, that's steak looks tasty.
Even its internal organs, even its intestine, its liver, its
kidneys.
Yeah,
the liver's the best part.
Okay, well, you're an exception. I used to like them too, but you know what?
Most people are gross.
Yeah, everything is a delicacy.
I'm not an extremist vegan.
To vegans, they are.
I'm not like a PETA person or these, you know, hardcore activists who are going to insult you if you eat me, because I won't. Because it's been part of humanity for many thousands of years. All I'm saying is that if you can spare, you know, a living animal, you know, it's a very sentient animal. It's life. Why not? That's just on the ethical side. That's just the bottom line. Why not? If you don't have to, why slit Bessie's throat? Why?
How convenient for a species who has a very privileged circumstance to say such a thing.
Let's just look. I agree with that.
I guess it's more.
That's
of
actually
a
point a lot of vegans miss out on.
Personal
they criticize.
Preference. For my chance, I'll take a steak or some. No.
There you go.
I wouldn't even touch it.
All right, well, let's move on. let's talk about some business news. I don't know if you guys know, but the great big merger that happened. Come on, Jeff, you don't know this? Come on. It's Dow and DuPont.
Yep.
Now it's, what was it? It's just Dow Pont, right?
DuPont.
Or DuPont.
DuPont. That's already
Dow. Right? Winners. I don't know. Whatever. Well, anyway, today they announced that they're going to lay off 1,750 employees. And just in Maine alone. Now, I don't know if you guys looked at this, basically, they're trying to consolidate and quote-unquote synergy. Synergy was all over this merger, guys. And basically, they're just going to be combining what they're already doing together and reducing and slimming themselves out. Big question is, I mean, this is a huge, these are two huge, long-lasting companies that all of a sudden just went back. And I don't know, man. This is going to be kind of weird. Do you think there's going to be more consolidation? Is 2016 going to be... Because 2015 was basically mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, I think 2016 is going to be the same thing. It's going to be, like you said, basically like these companies that could allay Surge's capital are going to try to either purchase all these and consider all these mergers and acquisitions. Recently, one thing that I heard is like Apple's trying to buy GoPro also, since GoPro's been doing...
Not so well.
Yeah, yeah, their stock tanked. At one point, it was like at $98. Now it's like at $18. So yeah, that's what many people are saying. Oh yeah, this company by this company. And it's always been like that for a while. And I think that's one major thing about merger acquisition. But there's always the government trying to step in and cut some ropes to avoid any form of monopoly, any form of unpractical competition.
But it's not just the government. Sometimes many of these, you know, big mergers is that it doesn't function for too long. They start to break apart. Google.
Yeah, most mergers don't.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that it's necessarily going to mean it, that it's a merger. I mean,
yeah, so we're also cutting competition. You buy the company out, yeah. You could just actually just write them off as a, I don't know, as business expense.
Right? Well, that's the thing is that these two were pretty much, you know, there were competitors, and then they merged, and now this changes the entire atmosphere as far as energy, as far as plastic production, and other, like, basic household gold. Yeah. I mean, household good. What the fuck?
Maybe I'm kind of high.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, you're right. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know about Apple.
Because I think something that I've seen more positive is Google buying out GoPro, because yeah, Google's into drones, and that's a whole issue that GoPro was coming up with drones that where they could attach their well-known hero cameras, etc., for them to use. So I think that's something that I would see more of a usage for, especially when it comes to like broadcasting, if they want to broadcast sports, etc. It'll be easier for them to use their drones, etc.
See, but that's a weird thing, because I hear Twitter, you know, when Twitter didn't have a full-time CEO and it was pretty much, I think, hovering around $25 stock price. And trust me, it's lower now.
Yeah, it's recently been going down. Yeah. Because people don't know what source of revenue does Twitter get from.
Well, yeah, well, FYI, and kind of, you know, out of a moral thing, I do have stock in Twitter, and I'm buying up right now. I'm just swooping up this past, like, 3 months, just little bits of it.
Reducing your...
Yeah. But, what was my point? Oh, yeah, when it was at 25, I believe Twitter was... A lot of shareholders were considering maybe Google buying Twitter. Because Google Plus, I mean, doesn't... It's not a big social media platform. Huh?
It's not a big social media platform. Like you said, like compared to Facebook or compared to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what...
Like who asked you, oh, you have a Google Plus? You know?
That's kind of the thing that, you know, they don't have any information on the personality of the consumer. They know what consumers are looking for, but they don't know who they are. And that's one thing that Facebook can offer to a lot of marketing companies, a lot of businesses. You know, but going back to my previous, you know, consideration was, is Google the only place that all these companies can merge into
successfully? You mean?
Yeah,
I mean, the reason why I say Google, because Google is because it's so diversified. Google's so much into tech, so much into the different areas, so much different areas that, yeah, I mean, Google could undertake all these companies because they also have that large equity power that they have.
Yeah, they have a massive equity.
Like if you see, I mean, and plus if it's kind of fits in their line, because Google's so diversified, it's not like a shareholder would say, oh, Google's trying to buy this. If you see Apple trying to buy like Clorox company again and be like, hey, what's going on? But if you see like some sort of Google company buy, they do like vertical and horizontal purchase where they buy companies that are somewhat fit their portfolio or where they could somewhat develop some of their technology. Google has that, you know, non-human driving car, et cetera. Yeah. You buy a GoPro with cameras and stuff. Well, you can install some of these cameras, et cetera, and the car will be able to be more safe or secure.
So it's like it's a compatible...
Yeah, it's a compatible thing because there's so much into tech investments, et cetera, that it just fits for them perfectly in their portfolio.
Yeah,
because
I know they wanted to buy Twitter originally, and they said no. And they wanted to buy Snapchat.
But yeah, Snapchat has been on the Snapchat actually has been denying all these offers from many of these
Yeah,
because they know the value of it, especially like Uber too. Uber recently has been denying a lot of decent buys.
Well, Google has money in
As a private investment, but not as a trying Uber. To buy. Yeah,
I don't know why I'm so.
But hey, but
on
you
that.
Think about it. I think many people also fear the thing about buying a big social media platform is that they're just fads.
Oh yeah,
that's the point I wanted to make. Yeah, that's their fads, and they could easily go away. Facebook is kind of in a sense dying now. Now people say that it's all about Instagram and Snapchat.
Well, the thing is that, and this is what, interesting about mergers and acquisitions. I mean, Facebook owns Instagram, and Instagram is one of the fastest growing social media apps out there right now. In fact, I think this year alone they grew about 30%. I don't know. I'm throwing out numbers, but I know it was pretty high.
Sure.
It was pretty abnormal. But I was like, God damn. And most people don't even know that. They don't even know that Instagram is owned by Facebook. And
that's true. Yeah. Many people are like, oh, yeah. When
it's
Instagram,
it's like, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I'm on Instagram. It's the same shit.
I'm not shit talking on Instagram.
It's a good merger for Facebook because it actually got successful.
But they don't know that.
Every 3 years, the environment for social media changes so much, and probably it's going to get even, lesser than that.
But there's
new startups come up. And,
well, what I was going to say was, I mean, a good example where you're saying is Yahoo. Yahoo bought Tumblr, about a year or two ago. Yeah. It's not the same. Yeah.
It's not working out for them. That's the thing that they were saying, that Facebook kind of, they own Instagram, but in a sense, they're basically, I forgot what's the term called, where they buy a company that's kind of in a competition against them, which is actually hurting themselves. Because if you think about people are shifting over from Facebook to Instagram. Nobody talks about, what's your Facebook nowadays? It's like, what's your Instagram?
Yeah, what's your IG?
Yeah, what's your IG? Like, basically they bought a company that kind of competes against their own selves, and that's something that many companies try to avoid. Don't come up with a product that's going to perfectly compete on something you have already, because it's just going to make you.
And maybe that is a more forward looking company, because a lot of these big companies making acquisitions are actually some of the most successful.
Well, realize that Facebook just I think earlier this year or late last year they bought Oculus Rift.
Oh yeah, from that.
And I think they're planning on coming out with an actual headset for consumers early next year, in 2016. I mean, that's going to be the future, man. Exactly. Virtual reality?
Have you seen that Google Cardboard box?
Huh?
Have you seen that? There's actually something that, a co-worker over there took it once that he got it delivered in the LA Times or something. It's called Google Cardboard box. It's like a Google Cardboard box that you just put your cell phone, smartphone in it. It's like goggles made out of cardboard, and you put it on. It's like virtual reality. It's pretty interesting. You should see it. I was like, what the hell? Yeah, that's what they're saying, that it's going to compete against Oculus that was bought over by Facebook.
That's a pretty good sign, because
which
big companies that were big 10, 15 years ago are not big now? Yahoo, MySpace?
Yeah.
Were they this aggressive in seeking acquisitions?
Holy
not really.
Shit! I'm looking at it right now. Google Cardboard box looks.
Yeah, and I think something.
It's almost like that. I did hear about this. This is sort of like that thing that they used to have as a kid, where you see still pictures.
And he showed it to me, and actually it's pretty cool. You would play like a scene, and then you would put him on, and you would look up and down.
It's like
3D virtual reality. I was like, what the hell? And he's like, yeah, I got delivered in my newspaper.
Is it a real cardboard box?
Yeah, it's a real cardboard box. It shows instructions how to fold it and how you set it up together, and then you just put your smartphone, like if it's a cinema type of thing, and then you just start.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He was like, look at this shit. Came in my newspaper. And I was like,
imagine how bad this is going to fuck up your eyes.
Yeah, that's true, but
it's...
But imagine how breaking instant technology nowadays. I think that's what they say. That's going to be the future of video games and stuff like that.
Like, honestly, what I think virtual reality is going to turn into is pretty much the second internet.
That's true.
You know, it's going to be the internet where you can literally go through. Like, right now, there's some robots with a screen of your face, right? And wherever you are, it's almost as if you're actually there. Now, imagine if everybody's in this room where they feel like they're actually there.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's like another world, pretty much, and a virtual world.
And I think that's something that these high-tech companies have to be keep on. That's one thing that I think investors should know to seek about these companies, that they have to be innovative. If I'm investing money in your company, it's because you're going to be innovative. I don't want you to stop, which is something that could be bad, because companies were like, you know what, Google is dying out. I don't see them coming up with any new type of technology, because that's what they're known for, coming up with innovation, technology, or applying it to different concepts. I mean, that's something that people are always scared about. When a big company, a blue chip company, also known as one of these major companies, kind of shows signs that it's kind of being immature. It's maturing already.
Starts giving dividends.
Yeah, starts giving dividends or starts, you know, their return on equity, return on investment starts kind of lowering down. People panic out. You're like, wait, what happened?
Well, that's what everybody's afraid of with Apple, right?
Yeah, that's one major thing about Apple.
Yeah, Apple started giving out dividends, I think, this year. And what some of the concerns was, well, now it's not really a growth company.
Exactly.
Well, obviously, it's maturing, but is it also losing its innovation?
Exactly.
You know? Look at the products, it's sort of like...
Because
if a company wants to, you know, use their cash, which is potential for R&D, new products, investing in future marketing, if they want to use that money instead of growth investment in paying dividends, it could be a red flag. Not necessarily all the time that a company decides to pay dividends is a red flag, but it could be. And in this case, where R&D,
it depends, right? I mean,
yes.
You don't always want a growth stock, you know,
right? But you expect the growth stock from high tech companies, which is kind of.
Yeah,
it's kind of like you said,
competition.
Yeah, it's competition, because if you see Microsoft, you invest in Microsoft, but you also have investment in Google, but you see Microsoft dying out, like, oh, Microsoft's not going to come with nothing else. Why did I invest in them? When you invest in, that's something about pharmaceuticals and textiles that people always expect crazy growth on, which is true. That's one of the investments. If you want to invest in stable stocks, invest in commodities or something more related to consumer goods. Walmart, whatever, they're growing slightly but if you compare something to like Google, you expect Google to have a 20% gain every year, 13% gain, 14-20%. Usually right now they're back again at their 52-week high.
Well, I mean,
at their all-time high, actually, to be.
Well, I mean, I would say an example of like, you know, just because you're giving dividends doesn't mean that you're really slowing down is Starbucks. And right. I think we talked about this last time where Starbucks gives out, you know, not the greatest dividend, but it's a pretty good dividend. And it's been growing substantially. I think this year up, I don't know, I think 30% or more.
Yeah, because I mean, on the flip side, you don't want a company, you know, not keeping their investors happy. You want a company that keeps investors happy, market, you know, that they do intelligent R&D, good marketing. Yeah, that's a big deal. A lot of companies have a good product, but they don't have good marketing.
Like you said, understanding a financial person's perspective about them, it's kind of hard to understand, because you see some companies come out with major growth profits within a year, but then you see their stock drop, like, oh, what happened? Oh, because, they had so much growth, but they cut out their forecast for the next couple of months, so it looks like they're going to do as well. So, like, hey, but we just got 10 billion from sales last year. We increased by this percent, but we could cut our forecast to a little bit, I don't know, 7%, 6%. But investors are like, well, we were expecting 15. Like, it's kind of, you never understand an investor's point of view when it comes to
stock. Not only that, but it's really hard to you know, predict the market. It's really hard to predict the future in general.
Yes.
Well, no matter how, you know.
It's hard to know what's going to happen for you tomorrow. Yeah, I go to work here, et cetera, but you never know what. But
nothing is guaranteed. That's for sure.
But as an investor, I mean, the way you should be investing, and this is my belief, is before you buy a stock, it's not because you bought it
specific
as a quick money scheme. You know, you're buying it because you believe in what that company stands for and what that company is doing. You understand management.
Yes.
And, you know, when I look at stocks, I look at what the street, you know, says, but I also look at, you know, what does management say?
Exactly. I know what you're saying.
I mean, just because management lowers forecast,
does that really mean that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Investors go nuts and like, oh no, like shit's falling from the sky.
Yeah,
like,
okay, come on, man. The company you're working has had a bad year at one point of its life. Yeah. I'm not saying, there's no such thing as 10% growth, 20% growth every year.
Perpetual, yeah.
Yeah, it's perpetual growth or compound growth.
So what you're saying is you got to do your research enough to have faith in the company, even if it's not growing as you maybe might expect. You have future, you know,
expectations for it. Look at Chipotle. Right now, okay, and that's a great example. Chipotle just is going through some hard shit right now because of some E. coli in the fucking spinach. We get it, you know. The reason why the investors are so tough on Chipotle is because Chipotle has very high standards.
Growth. Yeah, very high growth too. Very high growth over the last couple of years.
It's phenomenal. Is crazy. Yeah, and they still plan to continue that growth. But they're trying to resolve this issue with E. coli, and it's a serious issue.
Because, yes.
But when you really look at it, I mean, Chipotle isn't the first place that has this E. coli breakout. Costco also had this breakout. And obviously, it looks a little bit, you know, bad for Chipotle more because of their high standards, but... Look, this stuff happens, and sometimes it comes from, a shitty employee or from a distributor, and, you know, that has to be resolved.
I guess the fact that it ties to their mission and value of everything, food with integrity and stuff, but when you start saying, oh, yeah, food has E. coli, and et cetera, that's where it kind of ties in. Oh, yeah, what happens? Could they find another source to apply to? They have so much restaurants open, so much of whatever.
I think it also got a lot of attention because, you know, they try to portray themselves as, and they do try, you know, be as organic as possible.
Yeah, that's true. That's what they say.
So they find something dirty on it.
If you try to be something too much for one person, or you try to be that one company, that's it kind of affects in a way. Like, if something bad happens, you're like, oh, say if Tesla, the electric car company, we're super safe, but if their car's battery starts burning off or something, I'm like, hey, what happened? That happened to Tesla One when their stock was going high, and then somebody published a video that the car caught on fire because there was ignition caused by the lithium batteries in the car, and then all of a sudden the stock just dropped. Like, oh, I thought you were supposed to be the safe car. Never.
Yeah, it's the higher standards a lot of people expect from what they say.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to bash somebody who's, you know, on top.
Yeah,
who, you know?
It's easy something, and like you said, it's easy to bash somebody that claims so much. Yeah, if you claim that you're the top company, you're this and that, oh, yeah, we're the number one earth-friendly company, oh, yeah, but you guys are polluting in this way.
But do you know how many, Chipotle... Like, how many distributors they have.
Nice.
You know, part of their model is to be eco-friendly as well. And in order to do that, they have to make businesses with local growers around the area that E. coli sprouted out. And obviously, they're going to have to end, you know, relations with whatever distributor that is. Or something has to happen. And they know that. But this is obviously an issue that will pass and will be corrected. I mean, Chipotle's model is still the pioneer, pretty much, of, you know, fast food dining right now.
Yeah, that's your fast food dining with a twist. Like you said, now it's fast food dining with more health and more organic options,
exactly.
Et cetera. And it's kind of, like you said, it's kind of hard to keep that company model and everything because there always will be, like you said, sourcing issues with all this. Like you said, right now that this happened, oh, what happens? Should we go talk to the next person or something? And all these things take time. Like, if they want to build a contract with a new supplier, etc., it's going to take time. It's going to take them. Yeah, they got to lay the foundations, lay the terms, etc., start the shipment, supply, etc. And by that time, you're like, oh, you know, it's maybe we should start seeking investment in another company when it comes to investors' comes to a consumer point of view, they could wait. But when it comes to investor,
an investor, if I would invest
super long term, yes.
I know that Chipotle keeps up with trends. I know that they really invest a lot in what they try to follow through with what they say about being organic, local. So they
and
might get
management
better.
Is pretty solid too.
That's true.
You know?
The CEO has been with the same company since the start.
He's a founder.
He's
been there, but like you said,
it's a lot of experience involved. So yes, I think Chipotle is going to come back from this. And like he was saying, it's they get a lot of attention for their E. coli breakout because they try to portray themselves as really clean, but you know, shit happens. And I think most consumers still have a lot of faith in Chipotle.
Better perspective, what they seek is a return on their investment. If I'm investing in this company,
because but you know
I
what, expect, still, even yeah, investors,
that's why it's always hard to understand investors' point of view.
But yeah. Even the best investors, they can't tell the future.
Yeah, you can't tell the future, but you're always watching your investments. Like, oh yeah, it's news, rumors. I don't know.
I think also the issue is not being too short sighted. It's not just about what's short. If that's it's going to be low for the next year, you know, or two. Many times it's just part of the, you know, the hill climb. Sometimes you don't necessarily have all peaks. Sometimes it's a little bit of a lull in between. But yeah, you keep growing. And if you see the economy in the past, you know, decades, it has been growing. So that just shows that on the macro level, things can go down, but it'll come back. But and like if it's a solid company investing in their marketing, investing in what to say like Chipotle, then as an investor, but I still have faith in it.
Something that investors always grow is when you invest in a company that grows so quick that it might just collapse all of a sudden overnight or something. That's like you said, that's something that's why some people are scared of Amazon. That's the whole reason that it could be because Amazon hasn't been able to return positive profits for many
but
years.
Because the excuse
is always that, oh yeah, we're growing quick.
But I think this year they actually made profit.
They made a profit, but their excuse was like, yeah, we're growing too quick. We cannot keep up with our whatever expansion, so we have to purchase.
But that was even what was happening with Starbucks before they come.
Yeah, collapsed. But like you said,
they expanded a lot. They had to close down a lot of the stores that they opened. But they still made a net gain, and you know, in the long term. So I guess it depends what your time span is.
Yeah,
and
also,
a lot of people are very impatient.
It depends also on your level of investment. If you're a wealth manager and you're investing $200 million for clients, and that's part of your living wages or earnings, yeah, you're gonna be kind of afraid to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, we believe in long term, and I believe in long term
investment too. I mean, there's some companies that I would do like day trading and short trading because you have so much fluctuation, especially when it comes to these small companies.
But with the most fluctuation, the more in the long term, you're not really going to make a net gain, by the way. So it's like gambling, just the same. You might make a lot in... Yeah, exactly. Day trading is like gambling. That's like the extreme of it.
And the thing about day trading is you have to have a certain amount of capital. If you actually want to make a high return or something, you need a certain amount of capital.
But still,
with forex, currency trading... Like you said, the appreciations are so small, you've got to invest.
It's a lot of speculation involved. So even if you make a lot of money with day trading, it does have a higher potential. It's just that in the net, I think they say in statistics, the net long-term gain, a gambler doesn't really, it's really hard to break even even if one of the best gamblers have a hard time breaking even in the long term. And I see that with you know, that kind of risky investing.
That's true.
If you're too risky, then it's not really going to give you much gain.
I mean, plus
depends what your parameters are.
I think some people apply the day trading as your physical well-being to, because I know some people that wouldn't sleep or cannot sleep thinking that, oh yeah, you know, I have my retirement account 80% invested. What could I do? Should I go to sleep and wait? What about if I just sleep for 1 hour? Right, like even like you said, well, I go to work, I don't have time to make a movement in my stock.
Yeah, people are upset.
I know a couple of people that have done that $50,000. Well, it's not enough, but $50,000 in the stock market investment. They're like, shit, I got to keep up with my phone. They have their notifications on, especially when you start to deal with these like short. Three times investments compared to the S&P.
You gotta keep track of every minute, because in day trading is that important. I know what you're saying.
I don't know if I could do that.
Like I said, it's more of a
gambling type. Maybe if I was getting
you're not
going to
do that
bad.
With money that you want to keep. If you really care about your money,
if you're allowed in your job,
do that with your gamble money, not with your hard-earned money that you plan on.
You're
not going to win every time, and if you are, you're going to lose just as many times. So just be careful.
Honestly, it is possible to make a lot of money doing day trading, but to the average person without knowledge, etc., yeah, you should just avoid all that totally. But even if it comes to like small investment or anything, you should, if you want to try day trading, practice with a simulation account or something.
Yeah, just take it easy. Try not to do
I mean, it's just
the simulation
you are,
account.
you know, the more you're trying to predict the future, and that's not really...
Yeah, they say the younger you are, the more you should risk, but technically, I would say I try to avoid that, in a sense.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Focus more on your long-term goals and your long-term careers, purchase a house 10, 20 years from now from your age, or 5 years from now, pay it off, et cetera, or a car. Yeah, because, yeah, if but you want to be a risky trader at a young age...
But then again, that's my point. I mean, it depends how long-term you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're talking about 20 years, you're fine with a 5% return, but if you're talking about a more risk... you know, oriented investor who wants to only make, you know, a certain percentage that he has in his mind, then he does want to, you know, be that impatient, because his goal isn't, you know, 10 years.
For high growth.
It's probably 2 years. So I guess it depends on the investor as well.
Yep.
And what parameters you're placing.
Welp. We get it. What was our point? Anyway, mergers and acquisitions, that's going to happen next year.
As you can see, we kind of sidetracked, but we try to keep it in the finance loop.
Anyway. another thing that happened that we probably should have started off with, but interest rates went up. Janet Yellen, the queen of the castle, decided to raise the interest rates by 0.25%.
Yeah, 0.25%.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's your goal, right?
To
get to the goal level of inflation.
Well, I mean, everybody cheered it, but it's sort of like, but nothing happened.
Nothing happened, yeah.
But that's how it was intended to be. You can't really raise these.
You don't want to shake the market. The cost
you
want to
be you want to be gradual to it. We had an extreme, you know,
home makeover
of the economy, basically. When, you know, in 2009, we those were the lowest. We've been having the lowest interest rates
for many
for decades, like decades. So it was kind of like,
well,
medicine
in our
that you put in an economy
in our history, yeah,
to get better. To you know, the Federal Reserve has two mandates, and that's what they wanted to do. But it was an extreme measure to reduce unemployment and control prices, control inflation, and they were successful. But they did this extreme measure because it was an extreme time. They can't continue having ultra low interest rates, you know,
that's
down
true.
To zero for year after year after year. It's going to be a point where you're like, okay, this extreme is not going to work now. If it gets to the point where a deflation occurs, then that's going to be really tricky to recover from, like, you know, we've seen in other economies. So,
well, I think
it is good that she's raising it. And honestly, I agree that it should be gradual, you know, 25% every quarter.
Well, I mean, obviously it was going to have to go
and
up
it kind
eventually.
Of prepares people. Yeah, it kind of prepares people like, oh, yeah, if it's going to go up 25%, a quarter percent this quarter.
I don't think people actually, I mean... people could not have actually believed that we were going to just suddenly go up 5% in like two quarters, you know?
That's true.
I mean, this gradual progression was assumed.
Kind of put you prepared.
Yeah. That's just how the Fed works. But honestly, here's the thing. It makes me wonder if, not that we're not ready. I think we should have started raising interest rates a long time ago. But in some ways, I kind of feel like the way the economy was set up anyway, we're going to have a downfall again. And it's been 10 years since we kept interest rates so low. I mean, let's say, 2 years from now, the interest rates are going to be 2% maybe. What if there's another financial crisis then?
It's going to go back again to reset and start all over.
Well, that's the thing, is this the only... measure that really the Federal Reserve has? Because I can't see it buying more assets.
I mean, yeah, you know? Like you said, there's so much in the government, technically so much in there that there's no point, there's no way to, there's no single solution to all these problems.
Yeah.
You try to fix something while you hurt the other.
Well, no, I mean, well, the intention is to reduce interest rates to, so, you know,
yeah, but
basically investments to be cheaper so the economy can grow more. But
like
you can't
said,
perpetually, you know, be growing and growing. That there is going to be a lot, and you have to prepare for that.
Yeah, I mean, when people are not aware that recently with this 0.25% interest, people haven't checked their variable rates on their credit cards and noticed that they've gone up. Some people don't know, but yeah, the bank raises up without you knowing, and then next time you know, it's like, why am I being charged more on the interest, etc.? Because yeah, it's like a subtle move, but it has a small impact
to everywhere else. Yeah,
everywhere else. Yeah, and like you said, now people with mortgage rates are like, wait a minute, well, I should have bought a.
Well, and to piggyback on that, I mean, one of the main things that was a concern about raising interest rates was the fact that, you know, household incomes have not gone up, salaries haven't gone up compared to profits, you know, and definitely it's even though it hasn't gone up, even though inflation hasn't gone as high as we'd like, we're almost there. I mean, definitely wages hasn't gone up that fast either. I think what just this quarter it was what 0.1, right?
For the past like 4 years, we've been pretty stable, which is what the, you know, Fed wants to do. So I agree. So far we've been good.
Yeah, but I think what Jeff was trying to allude was that because interest rates are going up, you know, the variable interest rate of credit cards and other loans, they're also going up. Meanwhile, you have this stagnant wage growth.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I agree that we should have raised interest rates, but I also see, you know, a big issue where now families will have just that little less, you know, of disposable income for themselves.
And it's true, yeah, because you say it's a quarter of a percent, but like, that doesn't matter, but actually it does. In a sense, you're going to be paying more, especially when it comes to, if you try to buy a mortgage payment or something, now you know people is going to want to refinance nowadays because, yeah, the interest rates went up. The banks are going to try to get out new loans where they could loan at this new interest rate that they set because they're going to technically earn more money.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to slowly, you know, lean towards the saver.
But at the same investor, time, people...
But at the same time, it actually gives you opportunity for other investments. I mean, the, you know, CDs will increase. All these, you know, more secure investments are going to increase.
That's true. But then people would also be smart enough to think like, oh, if the Fed is going to increase rates 4 months from now and then another 4 months from now, I might as well just try to purchase a house now to avoid a 0.5% increase 6 months from now or 8 months from now, et cetera. I mean, people could be smart with their money and smart at predictions, but at the same time, like you said, yeah, it's subtle movements that kind of affect the person's daily income, yearly income.
And it's almost like it's almost like we, I don't know, as if we're hoping that this will increase wages because, you know, obviously there's going to have to be more growth. And if the more, you know, or the less, you know, free income that there is for, you know, for spending, I mean, obviously there's going to be kind of a foreshadowing of like less revenues for companies, and they're going to have to either raise prices. I mean, raise wages or, you know, lower prices. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, especially now. It's 2016. There's the wage increase that's going to go in L.A. starting 2016, isn't it?
$10 an hour.
$10.50.
$10.50?
Yeah.
It's $10.50.
I think it's $10.50.
Yeah, somebody, you might be right. Yeah.
Well, it's somewhere. No less than 10. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. And some people are like, oh, yeah, it's going to be January a wage too. Increase. But then if you think about it, yeah, it's not nothing compared to what you actually the cost of living in L.A., but...
It's almost like they anticipated it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the crazy shit.
That should have been owed to you a couple of years ago, but it just took the government a couple of years to realize that you needed a wage increase.
See, and that... Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, and that's the thing is that there's this wage... There's this lack of disposable income right now, and I don't know. I kind of think that... I mean, you always fear that because there's this, you know... raise in the minimum wage that there's going to be inflation. I mean, we're already doing inflation. We're manually doing inflation now in a way, right?
Yeah, and it's always something that always, like you said, it always scares people is that, yeah, you increase minimum wage and you increase the prices on everything. That's a trade-off. Companies like, oh, yeah, we're going to pay more wages, but another for us to try to subsidize or offset these wage increases, we want to increase our cost of our items, et cetera. And, yeah, you know, that tends to happen, but...
But fuck it.
But yeah, I guess, yeah, that's the way they can say they fight fire with fire in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm honestly businesses,
their main goal, even though you say if it's private or it's something or it's nonprofit, they still have to make money. That's their main goal. Bottom, even if, especially if it's a public company, that's the main thing. Please, shareholders, you have to return profits. I'm not going to invest in your company, or I'm not going to be able to lend you, borrow, buy bonds from you if we know that you're not going to be able to pay us in a certain amount of years. What's the point of me investing on you? It's like me investing on a sunken ship that I know it's going to travel out. It's going to get, what's the point of that?
But on another spectrum, I mean, you have to admit that at a certain point when the economy can no longer, you know, really support disposable income for people, you have to raise the income, you know?
True.
Because not only that, you're making happy employees, which will do a better job for you. And two, you have more people to buy your shit. You want people to buy your stuff.
Yeah,
that's
true. You want people to have more also discretionary income at the end. So actually, like, oh, yeah, I paid all my utilities, et cetera, mortgage. Now I could actually go buy and buy your $1,000 MacBook. Okay, yeah, I could go buy
man.
It. Yeah, that's what companies want. They want, but I guess some of them are not too small side or anything that they don't focus too much on their employees. And that's something I always see major companies like, yeah, their bottom employees, which is usually the ones that help all these companies stay survival, which are the roots of the company, are not as appreciated as the management. Yeah, management takes a big play and they do everything, but I think it's mostly the bottom workers that actually make the company stay on top. Because
I mean,
imagine if all Walmart workers quit right now, what would happen with Walmart? Who cares if you have who cares if you have a top paying CEO graduating or whoever from these top universities, et cetera. But if the bottom employees, which most of them are barely high school graduates, et cetera. Not
but you know what? You know, using that argument, even though it's a good argument, you know, it's part of the ethics of, you know, of work. But it is very philosophical, honestly, and it depends on your culture. In Europe, for example, they believe everybody should have a 2-week vacation every year. For us, that's like what? You know, that's like luxury. And a company that really invests too much on its, you know, it goes against the question of how you're going to use your money. You know, it's a very basic question in finance. Are you going to prefer a company that invests in its market and they might not have the lowest, you know, wages, but they have more number of jobs? You know, because that's the basic question in economics.
Well, that's always the argument when they try to lawsuit Walmart against, like, why do you always hire all these part-time employees? Well, Walmart, we don't.
They might not
basically
have been
hired at
all.
Basically, they say, yeah, they don't have to pay, technically, if you're part-time, they don't have to pay benefits, they don't have to pay this, etc. But at the same time, their counter-arguments like, yeah, we hire all these part-time employees, but hey, we're helping out the economy, we're giving them jobs.
Yeah, but that's
we give
bullshit.
Them a paycheck, well, and their paycheck, they pay taxes to the government.
Yes, overall, I mean, you're
arguing
one side and you're arguing the other side.
Well, we got in. Well, I haven't even said my side.
no, but.
Look, we got into this debate last time, okay? We know that 30% of the workforce are on EBT because they don't make enough. The thing, to not go back into that argument, I kind of want, or whatever it was, rant. I kind of want to shine a light on the businesses that do pay their companies pretty well. Look, one of my index funds that I, or mutual funds that I buy, that I consistently invest in, their whole, prerogative is to invest in businesses where there is high employee satisfaction and they treat their employees very well. That mutual fund invests in a lot of progressive companies. And year over year, it's my best mutual fund. I get at least 12% year over year. Every year, they beat the market 12%.
Well, yes, because it's not always that if you're going to spend less on employees, that it's going to be more profitable for your company. Sometimes it is more profitable in the long term to invest in your employees, to make them happy, make them loyal.
Morale counts a lot in
them. Morale, you know, it makes them more loyal.
Well, on top of that, it makes consumers happy, too.
And maybe even a higher rate of investment on the individual worker, because he's going to probably work harder if he feels respected and appreciated in the company than if he feels like he's a slave, basically.
That's
so
true.
I see that, but you know, my simple point was that it's very philosophical on what respect is. And
I mean,
proper benefits.
Rockefeller was known for being a fucking beastly Please. Motherfucker. He didn't give a fuck. He would. It. He didn't pay anybody anything. He would. He would do everything basically, lean like as
if
fuck.
He, yeah, if and, his company was like basically, he was like a dictator in his company in a sense. What he would give a fuck about the lower?
Yeah,
as long, yeah, he would like, yo, yeah, you quit. I could hire another person at the same. As soon as you leave out that office, I have 2, 3, 5 people begging for a job.
Yeah,
you think he's gonna fuck me over or not? Yeah, that's why, like you said, that's when it's corporate capitalism. What a, that's what they say. Like, oh yeah, are your corporations all capitalist companies or are they?
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because neither, you can't say that one is better than the other, because yep. obviously the goal, the purpose of the CEO or the purpose of the board and shit. Is to, sure, Jeff, just go. Yeah, get out of here. The purpose of the CEO and the purpose of the board is to make sure that the company is run lean and most importantly, profitable. And even more important to that, profitable for the shareholders. And that's what really counts to the CEO and board. But you, as a consumer, if I saw two companies, they both make a lot of money, they both make the same product, and one does not give a fuck about the employee, and the other place, all the employees are happy, and I know that, hey, you know, this guy makes pretty decently, I don't have... I don't feel bad.
That image also affected Nike, you know, with their treatment of their workers. And that image has stuck to this day. And that was years ago.
Yeah, so, but I mean, Nike is like top right now. Their CEO got CEO of the year.
Yeah, but still, it can affect the company's image. And that is very important. And it's true. But, you know, there's a lot of political and, right, you know, economic philosophy with this. But even if you just strictly are talking about a profit-oriented point of view, you know, not worrying about ethics too much, yes, in the long term, investing in your employees, keeping them happy, being a seemingly more ethical company can actually be more profitable. And, you know, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think overall it's better for the whole economy on a macro level because... and I was saying this earlier was, you know, I think that we're reaching that point where, you know, the Fed can no longer support the raising of, or increasing of wages, you know, by money supply. They have to do it through businesses, businesses also are, you know, running thin now, as far as revenue in some parts. They're not seeing as many potential profits for, you know, 2016, mainly retailers, specifically like clothing and definitely in the health food section, you know, and they need to start investing more into their employees because, and Walmart's a good example. I mean, you're getting subsidized by the government for the lack of money that your employees have, EBT particularly.
Yeah, it's, you know? Like you said, it's a vicious cycle. It's the same thing. You pay the employee less, yeah, the company makes profit, but those same people go back and spend in your own company because they cannot afford
a
shop at a mall.
It's like they're taking the money from you and the government.
Yeah, they trap their own clients and their own employees. If you're working in Walmart, you earn so much low wage, you have government assistance, you're not going to be able to go spend and shop at Trader Joe's, some expensive. You're going to have to go back and shop at Walmart. Basically, what they're doing is trapping you in a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Unknowingly, no. We're like, oh, yeah, you know, buy this TV and it's cheaper at Walmart. But, oh, yeah, you know, Walmart, you got to buy at Walmart because it's, in a sense, it's the cheapest option you have available. Your income comes in.
Random fact, this is the first year ever that police have seized more money in property and actual cash than thieves.
So confiscating property for what reason exactly?
It could
be
quote unquote evidence.
So you're talking about like drug money and so forth?
well, what is sometimes considered drug money. For instance, if you drive around, there's been many number of cases where somebody's just driving around with $3,000, sometimes to just buy a car.
I see.
Without them actually.
Yeah, and if they have a joint in the car.
That's true.
Complicated question, because you're talking about crime rates, which entail a lot of, you know,
I mean,
a lot of specifics. That's not just involved with minimum, you know, wage or that. It's like the economy. It has a lot of factors involved.
Yeah, but we're really at the lowest rate of crime ever.
Exactly. But
we're at the lowest. Well, yeah, besides all the mass shootings that always happen. You know what,
yeah, but I mean, if you're going to talk about crime, we're at the lowest.
I know. Overall, yes. Yes. But like I said, it's something that's really hard to get precise patterns from. Just like the economy, it's really hard. So it can mean a number of things, and your guess is probably as good as mine in many of these situations.
It's disgusting. I mean, that means that the job is take. I mean, the cops are taking way more property and
you
money.
You have $3,000 in your car, and they see you in a suit and tie. That probably they think something's going on.
Yeah.
He's
like, there's
or
been.
Or who knows? Maybe there is an increase in crime.
You know? It doesn't seem to be, because I mean,
or certain kind of crime, maybe. I mean, no, crime is
overall crime is down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. That, you're right. In certain cities,
maybe violence.
You're right. In certain cities, there like crime might be going up. For instance, Chicago. You know, but overall, now, I mean, you're talking about the seized property and cash across the entire United States. Is more than stolen cash. That means they're beating criminals in their own game. You know, there's a weird thing.
That's hard to find. That's hard to find, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's hard to find. Like, this is the first year that's ever happened.
I know that, you know, for example, crack has been as low as in the 80s. Most violence, low as in the 80s and early 90s. But what has gone up exactly? What is it, the violence? Is it the shootings? Probably not.
Actually, no. Most of them are from drug arrests.
Okay,
Non-violent drug arrests.
Non-violence. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah, basically, if they catch you with $5,000 in cash and you have a joint in a car, oh, yeah, he must be a supplier or something.
Yeah, but you're going to buy a car. Or sometimes just...
But the cops just don't understand that mentality, especially if it's a low-class person.
Because
or something
I think
like
even
that.
Drug consumption has gone down, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's okay, but
here's another thing. That money is put back into the budget of the police force. So they have an incentive to seize that money.
It's always like that. Police always have an incentive to stop you or pull you over because
that is their market. You know, crimes. So, I mean, I can see that. Could it be that you're finding a way to make revenue for that crime?
There's a broken tail light in my car. You pull me over. You're going to give me a ticket. That's going to help you.
Obviously, you guys do not share the love of drugs as I do.
I'm not.
These are.
That's not what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I mean,
I'm pro legalization of everything.
But it's a shame that, you know, some people can just be driving with a car. Or driving to deposit money into their account or whatever. And all of a sudden this money is seized and considered evidence. And you can't get that money back.
True. It goes into the...
You know, and then what happens? What if that $5,000 was for something you needed right there and then?
I'm not being an apologist for the police force. I'm just saying, you know, it depends what exact crime is being more rising to drugs. Is there more drug
I didn't say,
use?
I did not say that drug crimes are rising. I said that drug arrests are rising.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
They're not the same thing at all.
I agree.
Yeah, because, I mean, some people are considered... all right. I could be considered a drug arrest, I guess. Because,
a drug lord.
Yeah, because I just had, a 20-pound tank of nitrous oxide. Okay. Am I a drug lord? No, but I'm considered a big-time drug arrest. And because of that, and not talking about California, but, you know, some other states where they're a lot harsher than California
about
this. I mean, you're talking about taking somebody's money, assets, and pretty much at least 5 years of life time. I mean, this is this this money is a symptom of this horrific law that's happening, and it's affecting us. And where does this tie in with finance? Weed, okay? Because there is so much money to be made on drugs.
Yeah. And it's so ironic.
Yeah, it's always been so
most
much money.
Weed investments are going downhill, which is shocking to me.
It's because of the whole reason where people, you know, yeah, it's weed. It's considered an illegal drug in a sense, and that's where people are always going to be being cracked down. Or yeah, you're investing money on the side for some of these drug people.
Well, look at Colorado, who's had it for the longest. Colorado has had the revenues from marijuana have now surpassed the revenues of alcohol. Drunk driving has gone down. DUIs have gone down. Violence and crime have gone down. And they, because of the amount of money that they made, they had to do another election in order to decide what to do with the money, that the surplus money that they got. And I don't remember it, but I think pretty much the proposition was for it to go to schools. And it's estimated to be the most amount of money the most amount of money to have ever gone for public education. I mean, honestly, Denver and Colorado, they're going to be fucking superb of a state in the next 5 years, dude. They're going to be the shiznit, okay? Modern what, roads, better schools, safe place because nobody's driving drunk, you know? Well, not that nobody would, but... Oh, you ran out?
Everything's gone.
It's all right. You drank it all? Are you sad?
No, it's all right.
That was a sad.
You want to smoke weed?
I'm good.
Smoke weed.
Oh, come on, bud.
No, I'm good.
Come on, Jeff. Come on. I was going on this rant and you're just going to say no? You're just going to say no to drugs after this positive rant about weed?
Why this against drugs?
Anyway.
Well, this doesn't affect your, you know, your, it's...
Anyway,
your driving skills. I don't know.
Yeah, what about your driving skills? Are you cool with driving drunk?
Driving drunk. All I'm saying is that being high is actually much
safer.
Safer than driving.
But have you ever driven cross-faded? Ooh.
Ooh, that's a question of the day.
No, but I mean, right?
How many pull-ups?
Anyway. How many pull-ups?
I don't know what that means. I don't know. You said cross-faded.
Well, cross-faded means that you're both drunk and high.
It's cross-faded, yeah. Okay. Or cross-faded can mean anything.
I'm not that much of a drug user. Yeah.
Like basically, cross-faded, anything. You're basically under the influence of many drugs or many or alcohol.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, you mix two things in one and you're like well, I don't
Coke.
Know what...
I guess Coke and alcohol would be cross-faded, right?
Yeah, anything.
I thought you said cross-faded.
Oh, no, not cross-fitted. Cross-faded. This guy, he's all about fitness. He's all about fitness.
I guess I am high. I
know you love CrossFit, but...
Well, anyway, marijuana is going to be... And I think 2016 is the year of bud.
420. Bud.
What the fuck was that?
Jeff is also high, not just me. Okay,
I know.
Cool.
I think it'll be, no, I'm saying 420. It'll be the year 420 where people actually will start to realize that, yeah, it's not as harmful. It's not as everything as many people. And it's
so
improving.
It's an investment, you're saying?
Yeah. I should
buy all these low stocks from...
No.
Which one?
We're not suggesting that. But here's why. Right. Because 2016, California is going to have the proposition on whether or not to legalize marijuana. And this time, they did it right. Instead of having four different fucking legislations and propositions, I think they reduced it to just one or two. Mm-hmm. And they're more sensible and more practical, and it would generate more revenue for the state. So, honestly, I think it's going to pass this year in 2016. And
it's only a lot of revenue for the state because weed is taxed at a high level.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that going to be, you know, something sustainable? Is that going to be enough of a reason for the government to legalize this? Because if it gets too common,
look at alcohol.
That's what I'm saying.
Look at tobacco.
If it's too common, it might not bring that much tax as you think it might.
Yeah, but tobacco companies still make profits.
But that's only because people are smoking less tobacco and probably more weed and alcohol.
What? That you know, doesn't make...
fully legal. Yeah.
No, tobacco I'm talking about.
It gives you revenue, but what I'm saying is you can't...
The tobacco industry is very, very, very...
The demand for tobacco is much less than alcohol, so it doesn't affect the prices of alcohol that much.
Yeah, but if you think about it,
tobacco, I think tobacco is taxed higher than alcohol.
Well, the fact that they cannot advertise and et cetera, they have so much restriction on tobacco. I mean, you still think about it, it's one of a billionaire industry.
Yeah.
It's a very billionaire industry. And that's the fact that it's being, it's by so many states and governments.
The government can gain less revenue the more common it gets.
Yeah, and there's some places where even on the tobacco boxes, they have to put like some of the health effects and some. I've seen a couple of, especially in Mexico, where you see actually the pictures of what could cure mouth cancer. You see some of these gruesome
pictures.
In Europe, they do that. So you see some of these gruesome pictures of what could cure by you smoking tobacco. You see pictures with like, you know, people with cancer.
They don't give
their
a
mouth.
Fuck.
They don't care.
All the thing is that the more common it is, the less the government needs to tax it. And so the less the revenues will be. So.
But yeah, but like you said, tobacco's taxed so heavily, but still, they somewhat managed to survive without ever. They don't care.
Well, on top of that, it's not just, you know, smoking weed; it's the health benefits of weed. You know, the
glaucoma and et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, you know how many micro like medical companies.
What impresses me the most about is the anti-cancer abilities of.
Oh yeah,
because it slows down.
There's been some studies where I mean, it completely eradicates.
Yes.
You know?
It's like a complement to chemo or even an alternative to chemo. I mean, we don't know that yet, of course.
I think I even heard so many cases that it's also good against kids or anything that have seizures and stuff, that it kind of...
Oh, yeah. I posted up something on Facebook the other day. It was, I think, from the Union or something like that, where basically it's about this father who has this kid who gets spasms all the time since he was a kid. I mean, since he was born. And he had to be on like 22 different medications.
Wow, that's harsh.
And, you know, he was scared and he didn't know what to do. And he finally said, fuck it, I'm just going to get these CBD pills or like drops. And he started giving it to him. And all of a sudden, his son started acting normal. And slowly, he was like weaning him off of like these each pill. And the worst one was benzene. And he's like 7 years old and he's addicted to benzene. Hmm. You know, like it was awful. And all of a sudden it was sad because, you know, he's just crying. He's like, you know, as a father, you know, you wish you could hear your son talk. But I don't know. I don't know my son yet fully because he's on.
Yeah, he's
I brought him down from 22 pills to just 2 pills now.
Well, you think about 22 pills on a 7-year-old, you... Yeah, and I've seen cases like that. Like you said that, yeah, it has helped them out many times, but some people don't acknowledge the whole, oh, yeah, it's not actually true. Or anything.
Yeah,
it's
been, you're hippie.
If it's been proven and you see people that claim to say it's true, because there must be some reason. If you want to be giving your 7-year-old kids 22 different type of medications and still...
I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah,
well, it's probably like, because, you know, weed has an association with a pothead who just
yeah,
does
that's
drugs
what I'm saying, because it has,
recreationally,
like, it's
not
the whole
because
thing,
of medication.
Yes, the
or
whole thing, you know,
that.
The issue back then when alcohol was prohibitionary and everything with Al Capone and all these things, like, yeah, alcohol was seen as a drug, etc., that it's, oh, it's bad for you and anything. But now that it's legalized,
right.
After so many years, people have forgotten about that. They're like, oh, yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, alcohol has no health benefits. It has no medication
it doesn't.
Benefits.
Yeah, that's
and
what
weed
I'm saying.
Does. So it's probably going to be the case that weed is going to be a lot
like
more common.
Weed is natural growing substance, anything.
Well, I mean, it's a shame that this is something that naturally grows in the dirt, and it's something that will help you medically. You know, it helps your health. It has
medically.
Well, on top of that, you know, they're saying that it's even good for, you know, triathletes. You know, because of the pain relieving, but also, you know,
probably anti-inflammation as well.
Anti-inflammation, yeah, that's true. Like, have you ever smoked weed when you have a cold? Like,
I actually haven't.
I have, and it surprisingly it actually suppresses any inflammation, like in my throat and nose.
That's because that's the one thing. Yeah, that's one thing about weed. That's what they say about cancer and everything. It kind of slows your body down and keeps everything more of a, like you said, it doesn't, that way cancer won't metastasize or spread out in your body, because it kind of slows down your body, slows down your system, because it's a relaxing.
Well, what's interesting is that it has over 23 different types of amino acids inside of it. So it actually activates multiple parts of your brain. So what's interesting is that most people are and our government supports this alcohol, which is a depressant, which actually makes you deactivate these senses. And marijuana actually activates these senses. You have inhibitors inside your body that connects to these different amino acids that your body needs in order to have these reactions and thoughts and images or ideas or whatever. And
that's true.
I mean, it's interesting that the depressant is the most accepted and most widely used. And this thing that is supposed to create and actually cause action and be more active or cause you to be more active is seen as the lazy. Well,
honestly, to me, weed doesn't make me more hyper.
I'm saying it's triggering things in your body.
Yeah, on a case-to-case basis, they have different effects on people. It's just like alcohol. Some people, when they drink alcohol, they get dressed up. People are the sad people. They, like, sit down. Some people get all hyperactive.
Well, yeah, everybody's different.
Yeah, everybody's different. But when you compare, you say, yeah, weed, compared to the death cases, compared to alcohol, rape cases, compared to weed, etc., when it comes to alcohol versus weed, you could clearly tell that weed, it's more of a beneficiary compared to alcohol. Alcohol has people led to depression, suicide, drunk driving, crashing, killing other people, committing.
I've never seen anybody on weed say, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, I mean, maybe rape people on weed area, but when what? You compare, I mean, yeah, some people might take advantage of somebody that's high or something like you said, but when it
oh,
comes
Oh, you
to,
mean making you as a victim?
Yeah, like you say, yeah, when they rape oh, anything.
But okay,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
but yeah, but compared
people
to,
get raped on, the,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, and even some drunk, like, yeah. Yeah, drunk or something. But say, compared to drunk, say, like, you could be more, you say, when somebody's drunk, it's actually more, the person could be actually more harmful to themselves because they don't know what they're doing. People that are drunk, sometimes, like you said, collapse and fall, and you don't know, like, oh, yeah, they fall on hard cement without even.
Yeah, they just smash their
head.
Yeah,
they smash, or like you said, or something happens, like they're walking in there and they stumble.
Get a concussion or something.
Yeah, you could actually, your body, like some people intoxicate themselves too much where they need to go actually get medical treatment because they dehydrated their body so much, etc.
Yeah.
You compare, yeah, when you think...
Their stomach pumped? And,
yeah, their stomach pump or something. Or some people actually have...
That's just nasty.
Or there's actually been known cases where people fall asleep and they're drunk and they try to vomit and they choke on their own vomit. Because you think about it, like, wow.
That's how some heroin users die.
Yeah.
That's just... I don't know. It's disgusting that, I mean... We praise this alcohol, which I'm not against, obviously. I just drank two beers right here.
We're just drinking.
I know we're just drinking
this conversation,
over here.
So we're kind of hypocritical. I know. But like you said, yeah, when it comes to other things, yeah.
It's interesting that, I mean, we act like that. As a society, we're just okay with just fucking our body up and, I don't know. And there's this drug or this plant, really, that you know, activates all these things in your brain. And we don't take advantage of it. Imagine 50 years, even more of suppression of study of this plant that has so many benefits. Not just does it have medical benefits, but it also replaces paper. Also replaces some fabric,
even plastic,
even plastics.
Yeah, even plastic
and to me, that's pretty important because it shows the green movement and being more sustainable.
I mean, many of these, like you said, many of these drug plants said were many used way civilizations ago. Like you said, even cocaine, the coca leaves were bitten by many people for the numbing effects. Opium, the leaves were used for many. Like you said, but it's just like people. They say they start finding when it comes with like science and chemistry, they start exploring and figuring out. Oh yeah,
it is though, right?
Yeah.
It's because it's illegal.
And it makes it bad. Anything that's illegal is bad for you. But like you said, everything was illegal at one point.
Take
alcohol.
Take this, Jeffrey. Take it.
Come to the dark side, right?
Yeah. Yes, put this in your mouth. Yeah. In your arm.
To hear
put
the extreme in the other side, not that I heard that, you know, it probably doesn't have a medical basis, but the anti-marijuana people... mentioned that it has a long-term psychosis effect. And they try to say that we're trying to protect people from harmful chemicals or drugs. And this long-term psychosis effect, I'm not sure what kind of psychosis it causes. I'm assuming maybe paranoia, you know, whatnot, whatever short-term effect it might cause some people. But they do try to use some science behind their claims. Mm-hmm. And it might be, you know, false. Or... or probably just misleading because it might be true in a certain number
of cases. Well, here's the thing is that we wouldn't know because there haven't really been that many tests. And all the tests that have been done have to have government okay and permission.
Yeah, it shouldn't. And like you said, the FDA approval. Mm-hmm.
They still don't.
Yeah, we still don't. Then you have to have all these different regulations and certain people.
And hypocritically, it's still considered a class one drug.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Is it, you know, class one?
Yeah.
Like you said, yeah, it's right? So much, like they say, they have to do so much trial.
It's a pretty high.
Yeah, because they have to disclose all the side effects. Yeah. And when you talk about a drug that affects people differently, et cetera, it's hard to know what all the side effects cause. Well, like I said,
most opponents, they say that there's a health effect and a societal effect. They, you know, they might say it causes, psychosis or that it might break apart families like alcohol does. And I've even heard, Christopher Hitchens had
the
a brother.
Atheist.
Yeah, the atheist, the famous atheist. And anti-theist, as he used to call it, a more aggressive type of atheist. He has a brother who's a Christian, and most people don't know that. And he's anti-marijuana, anti...
Christopher Hitchenson?
Yeah.
No, he's not anti-marijuana?
No, Christopher Hitchens has a brother.
Oh, who's anti-marijuana.
Equally as vocal, but most people don't know about. And he is
What's
against,
his name?
I think it's Peter Hitchens. You know, it's worth...
Is he fat? No, I'm just playing.
He is like his brother, honestly. But he is anti-marijuana. He's a Christian, you know, and he's even debated Christopher Hitchens before, which is pretty interesting. But
really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to look that up. Yeah, I like Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Everybody does. But he does have a brother who
not everybody
is like, well,
yeah,
a lot of people into... those kind of that topic, and he does have a brother who says marijuana causes psychosis. And honestly, that's the first time that is the first place I heard it from was from Peter Hitchens, his brother, and he's saying that it has a long term psychosis and that it ruins families, it ruins society in the long term. That's the opposition's argument. Not that I agree with it, but
well, I mean, and based on what? What studies did he do?
Exactly. That's
you
what
know,
I'm saying.
Like,
what
are you basing that just
on?
Because yeah. maybe the marijuana user was arrested and sent to jail and it split apart families?
Yeah.
Then I would agree.
Because he is one of those you people know? Who say like, that yes, legalizing alcohol is hypocritical if you believe in alcohol being legal and weed being legal. He actually believes that alcohol should be illegal as well.
Yeah, a lot. Well, Mormons believe that alcohol should be illegal. They don't even think you should have caffeine. But here's the thing is that, and when you bring it down to that level, yeah. it's sort of like, well, what is a drug then?
Exactly.
You know, like, is coffee is a drug? You know, that sleep medication you're taking is a drug. That cold medication you take is a drug. You know, all of these things are drugs. Inhibitors. You know, I mean, green tea. It has a lot of caffeine. So does milk.
It is
so does probiotics.
Argument. Is it going to change you to the point where you're going to harm others? I think is where people are
denying. Well, you don't harm others, but you could be harming yourself, which is like you said. So caffeine costs people, like especially with like Red Bull and all these stuff.
But I'm not going to make caffeine illegal.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, the thing is that everybody's different and everybody needs something, okay? And money is an example, trying to throw finance back in there. But money, I mean, sometimes I need just a morning start, which I personally don't think I'm addicted to caffeine because I never wake up in the, like, there's plenty of mornings where I wake up and I don't drink coffee at all.
Yeah.
But I just love caffeine.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
love
same
coffee.
Here. Same here. I've actually been trying to cut down on my caffeine, but I find myself
that's something I cannot
do.
That's something I know. I used to have a morning coffee or anything, but after a while, you're just like, I don't see
it. It is a mild buzz after all.
Because to me, like, it's like
because of dependence.
It's a well for me. It's more like a ritual. Like I like to wake up, and I mean, I don't always drink coffee, and if I don't have it, well, oh well, you know. But if I have like a good morning where I have some time. You know, fuck, man. I love to have like a good breakfast with some coffee.
I like the good breakfast part. That's something I enjoy. The good breakfast, like, the coffee.
But
basically, that's what it is.
But
basically,
still,
even
as such,
caffeine is known to be an addiction.
You're right. I mean, my own and all that. But
my own family was like, I have members in my family that were addicted to caffeine. You know, I'll just tell you, my mom was addicted to caffeine at one point, and she told me that it was harder to quit caffeine than it was to quit smoking. You know, I mean, that says something. Yeah, how strong caffeine can be.
The thing about it, caffeine is not portrayed as having more as nasty bad effects compared to smoking.
Well, honestly, because it doesn't.
Yeah, because it doesn't, but still, it's still considered an addiction.
Yeah, but it causes medical problems as well. Yeah, it causes migraines.
It's true, blood pressure, high blood pressure. I think a lot of people attached weed with probably criminal behavior or.
Well, because they made it negative. Illegal.
Because it gives that negative perspective. That's always like, oh yeah, people. Like you said, that's the whole thing about alcohol. It's been so many years ago that this happened, that prohibition or anything, that people don't even care about it anymore when it was illegal. But now if you start thinking about, think about if they legalize weed now, from now people are going to learn and accept it after many years.
But I think this goes back to the same old question of how much government should get involved in business. What is considered quote unquote ethical? You know, ethical change in a certain country or time.
Well, the thing is,
maybe the thing is, what is forbidding what supposedly causes societal problems in the long term is good.
But now we know that it's not true.
Exactly, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying like, is it's a deeper question than it might seem. It's not just like as black and white as you might seem.
I agree, but we're not over here talking about what it might seem. We're talking about what it is. And that what it is it's a fucking disaster is what it is, that costs us millions of dollars every year, and there's no cap on the budget, and it's incarcerating. We have the most incarcerated people per capita than any other developed country in the world.
Just that many states have to actually release some of these lower end communists because they're like, oh yeah, we're out of jail, we don't have no more space, so you know what, you're getting your short sentences and you get out the door, and that's it. Like you said, yeah.
You've seen some private companies coming in with their private prisons.
Yeah,
and they actually make money.
Have just made so much money. Their stock is ridiculously high. It's been over like what, 15% over year and over. I mean, what the fuck was that? Year and year. Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, they're making grip ton of money. It's a shame that this is happening in the quote unquote freest country in the world.
Yeah, I think that's like pretty archaic term by this point.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what Janet Yellen did.
Yeah, it's a crazy conversation, but you see how
25% per quarter. Yeah.
What a quarter percent does to the economy. Yeah.
And what it does to people, what it did to this discussion. It
made me drink and smoke, evidently.
I know, it does. Anyway, now we're going into stock of the week. And it kind of goes into another conversation that is kind of important, and I kind of see as a big issue in 2016. I believe Kinder Morgan is going to be a good stock to invest in right now. And right now, Kinder Morgan is down, what, probably 70% from start of the year. Kinder Morgan is pretty much a contract company that supplies oil and natural gas drillers with drills and pipeline and infrastructure.
Well,
and Kinder Morgan, basically, in order to one of the reasons why they went down was because they had originally predicted a high dividend rate for the next couple of years, but as OPEC decided to continue drilling oil and producing oil, they don't plan on reducing it anytime soon. They realized that they have to cut their dividend. I think it was by 75%. So I mean, they still give dividends, but it's a lot lower than what was expected to be cut. And this is pretty much so they can invest in their you know, capital expenditures and reinvest into their company. However, and one thing that most investors are just ignoring here is that Kinder Morgan does not produce oil, okay? They do not sell oil. They are a contract-based company, and it's a really well-run company. When you look into their history, when you look into management, they're really solid, they're really progressing, and they see who they should be working with. And right now, the majority of their contracts are with natural gas, which some might argue is the future of energy.
Well, yeah, I mean, alternative energy in general, probably. I have an A and B answer to your question, actually. As far as alternative energy goes and good investments in the long term anyways, I would say this is A of my answer. Probably Triple Q, which is power shares. They invest in solar energy, wind energy.
Okay, it's Triple Q is an
ETF, I know. But that's my long-term thing, the ETF. But as far as stocks go, Virgin, they have started to, invest in more, I wouldn't say space travel, but using planes that go pretty much into space to travel. So it could be a potential future, a good return.
FYI, I do own Triple Q, which is QQQ. It's been around since 1998. And has been beating the market like just fucking slapping it around like a little bitch. But it is an awesome ETF if you want to get into ETFs. Of course, look into their holdings. They're primarily technology-based. But, yeah, it's a pretty good ETF to start off.
Yeah, as far as ETFs goes, that's more of a
long-term. It is a pretty expensive ETF, but yeah. It's worth it. But, if you can afford it.
But like I said, this is more of a long-term, investment thing. Short-term, probably in Virgin. They are evidently investing in things that might benefit them in the future.
Well done. Okay. you don't have to pick one, but I was just going to mention.
Most of these interests. One of my recent investments actually was Sun Edison.
Really?
Actually, when I got into it, I know in my company, we used to have our stock talks with everyone. One of these investors right there, he had Sun Edison for many years, so he's been since it's been on the low, he's been readjusting his cost basis. So at one point, it was like on the beginning of December that it dropped its all-time lowest at like around $2.55 a share.
What?
And that's when like, hey, this is my time to get in. But recently, by a couple of days ago or anything, it was one of its highs that has been in so many years that it was at $7 a share, and that's what I quit. That's what I got.
What?
And I actually made a sizable profit, not disclosing anything, but I actually made a sizable profit when I told people, if you would invest $5,000, $10,000, you could have had like $25,000, $35,000 in that investment. Wow. Some people don't know it. Yeah. And then after you notice that it got up to a point where many people started now selling, it's back down to $5. But yeah, at first he had holded it for so long. He was always talking about Sun Edison, but I said like, I think it's too pricey at that point. He would be like, oh yeah, I readjusted my gains. I bought it at $5 a share. Like, and it kept crashing and crashing. Like, wait a minute, wait, just wait. And you're like, no, I'll just readjust again. And at that point, when it got to $2.54, $2.55, that's when I actually went in, dived in. I told a couple of people, let's just dive in. Let's purchase a good amount of shares.
I don't remember getting a text from Jeffrey. Did you get a text from Jeffrey?
I did. But yeah, it was coming in. It was like at the beginning of December when this happened. Cool, then, yeah. That's and then, cool. But that's the thing about these solar energy stocks and everything. It's a rising trend, but it's also so volatile. It's so volatile.
It is super volatile right now.
But that's my previous point. Depends what your parameter is.
Yeah, that's your parameter. Like you said, you have to be careful with what you do. Yeah, I made a high risk investment or anything, but I kind of was aware. After you keep up, like I said, something that's good about you keep up with the stock so long as you kind of know the trends. Like, it's kind of unusual for it to fall below this print amount. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Maybe this is a good entry point because you're never going to know when it's a good entry, good exit. Yeah. You just kind of have to feel it around. Like you said, it's at 7. It's been high. It hasn't been high.
Course, a negative in the short term could be a net positive in the long term.
Like you said, it hasn't been this high or this low in so many times. I should probably get in.
Invest.
And then after don't be what I call, it's always what I give. Don't be greedy with the gains. Basically, what that means... Yeah, I sold it at $7 a share. What about if tomorrow I could sell it right now at $7 a share? What about if tomorrow, if it goes to $14? But what about if tomorrow it collapses back down again at $5 or $4?
Yeah.
Then that's where you say don't be too greedy with the gains. We're in a point where you're like, it's all about the green. The more I make, the more the better. I could wait until the last second. No, that's not how it works in the stock market. One second could change your investment decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, just keep it. And that's where you have to use the stop limit or the limit sales and everything where it comes in. Basically,
to use the limits.
Yeah, basically what that means, you set a price for a certain area where you actually, if it hits that mark or something, your stocks automatically sell without you having to physically be there monitoring them.
Or you automatically buy at that price.
And the thing about that too is you got to be careful because sometimes it doesn't hit that limit. Or or something. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're like, oh man, I could have sold it at, instead of seven, I could have sold it at $6.50, but now it's at $5. I messed up. Yeah.
So look at this fucking day trader. Just
It was just, it's kind of like more of a swing trade. It took me a couple of weeks, but yeah, that's one of my recent investments.
A couple of weeks. Well,
yeah, because yeah, it dropped that, and like, that was on like December the 2nd.
Super short term, huh?
And then, it was like not even 20 something days.
Well, I mean, it's cool. That just shines a light right now that two of our stock picks are definitely energy based. And the reason why is because of the recent news that OPEC, despite earlier this year they decided to continue production, have decided to continue production again for probably into at least the second quarter of 2016. Which, if you guys don't know and haven't noticed why your gas prices are so low, is because there is an overproduction of oil. And in order to compete with OPEC, everybody has to reduce their prices. And by doing that, they're also laying off a lot of people. And they don't know what to do. It's actually a rough time for energy right now. And if you can find some really good companies, this is a good time to.
Yeah, but as far as energy goes, oil is probably the most versatile. It's so versatile that's not even included in the GDP factoring.
You're right, but so, right now there's some oil companies that are, and this is weird because people were saying that there were going to be mergers of oil companies this year. I think it might happen next year.
That's true. I think and so many companies actually start actually ceasing operation because they don't see a profit or anything. But like, oh, by the time that's why some exploration has been cut off by them because like, yeah, it's not profitable for us to actually go and try to expand ourselves, but we know oil is going to end up collapsing back.
Exactly.
And that's when you say, that's when merchant acquisition come in. Instead of them like, oh, we could just sell our equipment or whatever we have to a bigger company and let them
And this is why I chose Kinder Morgan, is because right now it's one of the lowest times that Kinder Morgan has ever been, down 70%. It might go a little bit lower, maybe down to, I don't know, I don't want to set a price, but it might go down to $13. I think right now it's hovering at $15.50 or something. Ticker symbol KMI. I do think it's going to come back up at least, but give it some time. This is going to be a long ride. So you're going to have to ride it out, but it will come back. And I mean, they still give out dividends, so you know it's still a keeper. I would expect sometime in the beginning of 2017, maybe the end of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many, like you said, many of these energy stuff, especially those, it's going to take me.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah. You have to be, first of all, don't
use OPEC is being a bitch, man. Yeah. OPEC is being a dick.
Be careful with your investments. Don't invest money that of course you're going to need within 1 month from now and anything. Cause the point is you're going to have it at a lot.
Yeah. Define your parameters first. You know, what your goals are.
Have some cash.
If it's the money that you want to save or the money that you want to play with, that, you know, that's also big.
The reason why I mention it is because management and just company procedures and modus operandi are such a solid base, and the reason why they did the dividend cut wasn't because, you know, the company is falling apart. It's because they need it in order to reinvest mm-hmm. into their
infrastructure.
I said, it's not black and white. You know, a lot of things are not black and white. A lot of things, and it applies to finance as well. Just because they want to cut their dividends doesn't mean that they're doing badly or that.
In fact, it was a very important and needed decision. So anyway, it looks like it might be a trend for other oil companies as well that they're going to have to do it. Anyway, anything else before I wrap it up?
No, I think it's just like you said. It's always something. That's the thing about investments and finance. Hold on.
The point of this was that it might be a good time to look into energy. Be careful, tread water, but obviously there's going to be some upside. Obviously there's going to be solar energy that's going to be, you know, trying to take over.
That's true.
You know, and I mean, those companies are still showing a lot of growth. And currently oil is going down.
That's true.
Yeah, there's high volatility.
Even as an ethical investor, have some faith in ethics and invest in things that are greener. That's
especially the government subsidizes some of these companies, especially since they're actually being renewable energy stuff. They're being more green in their sense. So yeah, the government gives them all these funds or all these grants or tax breaks and anything.
Yeah, I think they just expanded those too.
Yeah, but the thing about it, yeah, some people don't really rely heavily on these companies because So is the investor's perception is always hard to understand when you're a person like, oh yeah, this it's because nobody is always there's uncertainty always, like, if I invest my money, what would happen?
I mean, uncertainty is something that an investor has
to that's live a whole, with. That's why there's such thing as a stock market or anything. The thing about a stock market or anything, there's always going to be gainers and losers.
Nobody tells the future. Only somebody who's trying to sell you some service will tell you that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really hard to invest. You could be even the world, even some of the best traders, hedge fund managers, always have had their losses and anything because there's no right or wrong. If you have a long-term investment, something I always suggest is keep up with daily news in a sense. You don't want to look at your investment, but keep up with, in a sense, daily news, weekly news, because that, in a sense, affects your long-term.
Yeah.
You don't want to find out, like, 1 year from now, you invested in a company, and then, like, you're investing in a company for 2 years, but midway, 1 year, company went broke because of something that happened with them. It's kind of, like you said, keep it at a level. Don't stress yourself at a point where you're checking the news every minute during your work or something, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
Be kind of comfortable and safe within your nest. They say just take it easy and always figure out that,
And if you do want to play with money, then set aside the money to play with.
Something I always have suggested is learning through simulation trading.
Sure.
All right, guys. Look at that. We were a little bit various today.
Very various.
But, you know, those are the side effects of being crossfaded. So,
crossfaded?
Thank you, Tony.
If you don't know what that means, I don't think dictionary would say, but you could go to Urban Dictionary.
The real dictionary. For millennials.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you, Tony, who's in accounting. Thank you, Jeff, who's in finance. Don't forget to follow us at abspodcast.com. Also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at abspodcast. And if you have any questions or want us to talk about anything specific, always email us at anotherbspodcast@gmail.com. I know. That's what this is. Anyway, I'm Chris, and this is Another BS Podcast.